Let us pray. God of love, you have called us out of darkness into your divine light. You have chosen us. You have done mighty acts in our lives. We remember with gratitude. We thank you. We listen for your life-giving word that we might proclaim your good news in all we do. Amen. A reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. Come to Christ, a living stone, rejected by mortals, but chosen and precious in God's sight. And you yourselves are living stones, being built into a house for spirit. You are called to become a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices to God's delight through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in it will not be put to shame. To you who trust in it, the stone is precious, but not for those who do not believe. The stone that the builders rejected has become the very cornerstone, a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey God's word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of the one who called you out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not found mercy, but now you have found mercy. The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from John's Gospel in the 14th chapter. Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. Trust in God. Trust me. In my Abba God's house, there are many rooms. And I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and bring you to myself, that where I am, you can be also. You know where I'm going. You know the way. But Thomas said, Teacher, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. You can't come to God but through me. If you know me, you know God. From now on, you do know God. You have seen God. Philip said, Teacher, just show us God and that'll be good enough. Jesus said, Philip, have I been with you this long and you still don't know me? If you have seen me, you've seen God. How can you say, show us God? If you know me, you know God. The words that I say, I'm not just saying on my own. It's God working through me. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. One unfortunate thing about this passage is that we use it all the time at funerals, which is not a bad thing, but it gets us thinking that what Jesus was talking about is the afterlife. And it's true that when you die, then you will be with God, but what's not true is that God's house, the place where God lives, is somewhere else, and you have to die to get there. The house that God lives in is the present moment. It's right here, right now. And we're not very good at being present in the present moment the way Jesus is. You know how you're talking with somebody and they're busy on their smartphone and you feel like they're not really there? Well, we're not really there for God, but Jesus is. And so Jesus will come to us in our distraction and take us into his own heart so that where he is, in intimate presence with God, we can be. Jesus knows that that feels like a stretch for us. Jesus knows that every single one of us bears with us, deep in us, this wound that you've been told in so many different ways. You don't belong. You don't fit. You're not needed. You're not one of us. You're not right. He knows that we all wrestle with that. We don't feel like we're at home in this world, in society, sometimes in our own skin, and certainly not in the heart of God. We doubt that we really belong in God's heart. So Jesus spends his ministry making a place for people, helping them to discover their belonging, extending this incredible welcome into God's heart. So he's teaching in his house, and they can't get in because of the crowd, and they literally break a hole in the roof so that they can bring this paralytic in, and he makes a place in his house. And it's his house for this man's healing. When Jesus says, in God's house there are many rooms, he's not imagining God living in this big, huge mansion, and you can kind of pick your room. The people in Jesus' time lived in very small little huts, mostly that were two-room houses with a kitchen and a guest room and a family sleeping quarters. And when the oldest son grew up and got married, he didn't move away. They built a new room, and they moved in there. And then when the second son got married, they'd build another room. And they'd move in there. So when Jesus says about there being many rooms in God's house, it's not like a hotel where you can pick your room. It's a room that's been built for you. Jesus has prepared a place with your name on it. That's how he spends his ministry, making individual people welcome in his life and in the community. So there's a woman in the synagogue who's bent over, and the ruler of the synagogue says, don't come on Sabbath to be healed. We don't have time for that. But Jesus makes a place for her and says, oh yeah, this is the right place for you to be healed. Bartimaeus cries out by the side of the road, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. The disciples try to shut him up. But Jesus says, no, bring him to me, and makes a place for him. Jesus is at a dinner. And in the middle of the dinner, this woman comes along and anoints Jesus, and people criticize the woman. But Jesus makes a place for her and says, no, what she's doing is important. I need this. Back off. Even at the Last Supper, Jesus knows his disciples. He knows what they're like. He can see what's going on in Judas. He knows Judas is going to betray him. And what does he do? He literally sets a place for him at the table. Right next to him, in the place of honor, he prepares a place for him. Even on the cross, in that terror and that agony, all the people are scorning him. The other thief on one of the crosses is making fun of him. But the other thief says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And in all of his pain, Jesus reaches out to this total stranger and says, truly, I tell you, today, you and me, together, in paradise, makes a place for him. How about you? How have you experienced God's crazy hospitality, in which God makes a place of belonging for you in God's own heart? Little ways, big ways, we're all hungry for that. And we all experience it in little bits and pieces. About 20 years ago, I was at a conference workshop at a Catholic retreat center, and I'd get up early every morning and go pray with the sisters, and I got to know them pretty well, especially Sister Ruth, who's this very old, tiny, frail woman, and so full of the Spirit. Toward the end of the week, the priest came by to say Mass for all these sisters, and we all gathered in this little tiny chapel, and I knew that they knew that I was a Methodist, and I wasn't supposed to take communion in a Catholic church, and I didn't want to create a scene, so I was just going to kind of sit this one out. So when it came time for communion, all the sisters come up the aisle, up for communion. Sister Ruth was sitting right in front of me, and right as she stood up and got in the aisle, she just turned around and went. She just waved me into line. She created a place for me with such authority that I had utter confidence that if I walked up there and the priest had a problem with that, she'd have my back. If he argued about that, she'd take him out. Sister Ruth, she made a place for me. I belonged. Church where Beth and I served once, there were these... One Sunday, there was this young woman, single mom, came in with these two boys, like 4, 5, 6 years old, somewhere in there. The most rambunctious, adrenaline rocket ship, unmanageable boys I've ever seen in my life. They were just leaping like dolphins between crawling under the seats and climbing from the chandeliers. And it was disturbing. She joined the church that day, partly because we made a place for her and her kids. And they were disturbing every Sunday after that, and people got disturbed, and they complained about that, and they said, and I said, Beth and I said to them, if you're complaining, you know the problem is that they don't have enough parents, and guess whose fault that is? You need to parent them. Don't just wait for the mom to do all the work. Step up. And one by one, people in that church learned how to go back to that post right back there where those activity bags are, although it wasn't this church, and get an activity bag and say to one of those boys, here, come sit with me. And they'd hand them crayons and give them coloring sheets and bend the pipe cleaners with them and make a place for those boys where they belonged. Over the course of years, those boys learned to sit through the service by themselves. Their mother ended up being our child care provider, so she was gone, and they would sit there without her. Through two services, just like we have here, they would read all the prayers, sing all the hymns, because people created a place for them. After a while, by the time Beth and I left that church, the older one was reading scriptures, the younger one was dancing in the dance choir, and I heard a few years later, when the older one was in junior high, he preached his first sermon. That church saved those boys by creating a place for them, and probably saved their mom by creating a place for her. And the interesting thing is that that church had been sort of fishing around for a sense of purpose in the world and discovered that they were really good at welcoming young single moms with unmanageable boys. And they had a crew of them in there. By the time we left, it was like a zoo of wild boys. And that church knew how to just take them in, sit them down, give them crayons. They were good at that. And the church discovered their mission in life. Those boys saved the church. Because they could both say to each other, you are needed. There's a place for you. What if we did that? What if that were true of St. Matthew's? What if St. Matthew's was a church that as a community knew that our purpose in life is to create a place of belonging for people who don't necessarily feel like they belong? Because that includes a lot of people who've been made to feel like there's no room for them. What would that be like if we were that kind of church? How would you be a part of that? If you saw somebody walk in the door that you didn't recognize, would you walk up to them and introduce yourself? Maybe. Here's a tough one, and this is not meant as a comment about anybody who happens to be there, but maybe you wouldn't sit in the back or on the aisles. When you first came to a church, where did you sit? In the back, on the aisle. Maybe we would welcome them by leaving those seats open and making place for them. Maybe it would be during coffee hour. You go up to somebody that you don't know very well and ask them about their story. Get to know them. Create a place where there is a place for them. Or maybe would it be that you would help Betsy Peterson, who's here today, but not in this room. She's out there fixing coffee for you folks. Maybe you could help create a place for people. Be on the worship team to think about our worship together, or on the stewardship team to help us provide for this kind of stuff. Maybe organize an event that would help people to get to know each other. Or maybe just get to know people. Maybe the way we create that is by sharing our own stories. Because so many people feel like, I'm not good enough to go there. There's a bunch of Christians who have their lives all together and I don't, so I don't belong there. They'd have to see a different kind of community, wouldn't they? One church where I served, there was a woman who came and talked to me who was not a part of the church. I knew her through things I'd done in the community. And she came into my study and she said, I want to talk with you about your church. I think I'm going to need some people pretty soon. And I said, tell me. And essentially what she said was, my life is a mess. And I'm going to crash. I don't need anybody to save me. I need to crash. I just really want a soft place to land. So I told the church, we need to be a soft place. Because somebody's going to come land here pretty soon. And she did. And they did. What if we were to do that? To become a church that really wanted to make a place in the heart of God for people who didn't know that they belonged. People who needed to crash but really wanted a soft place to land. Could we do that? There is one among us who has made a place for us. I bet we can learn from him. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you that we belong to you, that you love us and make a place for us in your heart. Help us to trust and build us into a house for your Spirit and for all those who long for a place to belong. God of grace, we thank you. And we open our hearts for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.